Hello and welcome to Corgitown, USA. My name is Candy. In my lap is Chuckles, our spokescorg.
I'm Catherine. At my feet is Digby. Somewhere else in the room is Indy, the honorary corgi.
And we have Booger and Mortimer Barnabush. The whole corgi committee is here.
The whole committee is.
If you're new here, hi, welcome. Every week we have new episodes, all things corgi and pet parent lifestyle. We're here to bring you information and grooming training, what's important to choose the right breeder, if you're going to rescue, what to ask. Why you should rescue, all these types of things.
Yes.
But we also try to be a source of information for you. So things that might be useful as pet parents when it comes to planning and making sure our babies are well cared for, both here and in the hereafter.
And in the hereafter, yes. We've done all kinds of episodes on that. But today, it is Layton from Copper State Planning. What happened the other day, because I'm in a networking meeting with Layton, and he said something about planning for your pets in your wills and trusts. And I went, oh, we never thought of that. I mean, we think of it, but we never thought of
it. We should think of it.
We should think of it. And I've thought of it. And anyway.
Should we bring him on?
We should bring him on.
Okay. Everybody, please welcome Layton with Copper State Planning. Layton, thank you so much for joining us today.
Hello.
How are you? We're good. Thank you.
We're happy to have you here for sure.
Yeah.
Good to be here.
Thank you. Well, we're excited. We're very eager students here, very eager pupils to have you. If you don't mind, just tell our listener viewer, tell us about you and about what you do.
Oh, of course. Well, I'm an estate planning attorney and a father to, you know, that one right there.
Hi, Valentine.
And yeah, that's what I do. I make trusts and help people administer their estate. And then the rest of the time, I'm father to this one as well as adult father.
I imagine that all keeps you pretty busy.
Pretty busy. It's chaos right now. Trying to
We don't know anything about
that. I know. We have a house full of like corgis that have been borking. So, well, okay, great. So tell us, how did you get started? Like specifically in law estate planning, can you kind of tell us how you got started? Maybe what you like, maybe what you don't like about it?
Sure. Well, first you go to law school, and in law school, I had stints at the city prosecutor, the attorney general, and also with the judge. So I was exposed to some areas of the law. And then I got out and I did family law. I thought I would like trial work. I did like trial work. And then I decided I didn't like family law. And so the dog is now chasing a bone.
That happens here in the studio all the time. She's like barking or like running and pulling our internet cord out. And then we have to come back or knocking down equipment. We're used to it. No problem. Corgis run the town over here.
We're not terribly professional here. No studio.
We have fun with it.
Okay. Yep. Where was I? Family law. Oh, decided I didn't like doing family law. So I switched to business and tax and then to estate planning where I now reside. I find I like it a little bit better. It involves more financial planning and tax planning, and it's more interesting.
Yeah. Well, we're certainly grateful that we have people like you doing that. So let's get into the nitty gritty. We're talking about having pups, and so I would like to know, sort of for the layperson, me being the layperson, if I come to you as a client. You know, I've got three corgis and I say, I don't, you know, what if something happens to me?
Yeah.
What advice do you give me on what I should set up? Like what documents, what I should have, how would I get started?
Absolutely. It depends a lot on what you would like to have happen for our fur babies, or also it does depend a lot on how much you have. So for an estate which only has, say, the house and the car, there's not enough funds in there to make a sizable pet trust. So sometimes it's just easier to just gift the dog and $10,000 to the person you want to have to care for the for children. But on the upper end of the spectrum, or if we really love them and we have no children of our own, maybe we want to provide for our final furry companion. In that case, we can make what's called a pet trust. And it's called a pet trust because it's a trust whose beneficiary is technically the pet. And in that case, we could set aside a large amount of money, and that could be used to pay vet bills. If the dog has any illnesses, it could provide housing. It could do all sorts of things. There's no limit. The tricky part, of course, is the trustee. The trustee is the person you entrust with the money, right? And that person will be the one doling out the money for the pet. And just like the word trustee, you must trust them. If you trust them to carry out your wishes, then everything should run smoothly. Now, there are, of course, downsides, and there are reported cases of some fraud or deceitful practices. Probably the most interesting one, I'm not sure if it's true, but it sounds true. Someone created a pet trust for their pet, and the trustee was a bank, and the bank would come to the caretaker's home, check in on the pet, and deposit the money. I think it was $500 a month or something like that. And this went on for, 20 something years. And finally, someone started thinking, hey, this pet is an extremely long-lived dog.
Yeah.
What's going on? Well, it turns out that the caretaker had just been replacing the dog and showing the dog to the banker and just pocketing the $500.
Goodness gracious.
I mean, you try to do that with the kid's goldfish and get a goldfish that looks the same, because that's easy, but a dog, wow. Would cost more than yeah. I think it would cost more than the $500 just to just to get the right breed and color and all that other stuff.
Get a matchy-matchy.
Matchy-matchy.
Matchy-matchy interloper. That's pretty disturbing, although I'm not quite surprised. But I seem to remember, was it Leona Helmsley?
Yeah.
She was very wealthy, and she left everything to her dog. But from what I understand, she didn't really, the rights were so limited. Like, it was so written that only things for the pup were in there. Like, the people taking care of them didn't really get any other provisions. That they had to like prove all the expenditures were for things for the dog. Like, it was very strict. And she had, like $2 billion, amazing amount of money.
Only for the dog.
Yeah. Do you remember that case?
Yeah, I remember that case because it was in New York.
Yeah. I mean, it's just a very famous rich lady left it all to the dog, but she didn't, as far as trustees, I'm not sure how that worked, but I know that it was very strict. It was written in a way that it was very hard for somebody to use her money for anything other than that little pup.
Yeah. So that brings up another question. And, we don't think about this because, unfortunately, our fur babies tend to leave us before we leave them. And when we're older and we get a fur baby, we may leave first. So we've made the provisions. We've got someone to take care of the dog, that sort of thing.
A trustee that we trust. Yes.
And now what ends up happening with the money that's still there when the pet says goodbye and crosses the rainbow bridge?
So that is why wealthier people, or people who want to leave a rather large bequest for the pet, that's why the trust is the correct structure. Because whereas if you just gifted the caretaker the $10,000, that's it, you're done. There's nothing left. When the pet ultimately passes, that is it. Another pet that this actually works very well for is parrots and turtles, who live much longer than we do.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay, but for dogs who, unfortunately, I have a shorter lifespan than us. When they pass, you are able to dictate where the remainder goes. So let's say you leave $100,000 in trust. You give it to I don't know, Chase Bank. Right. And they do their job, they dole out the money, and there's $50,000 left by the time, you know, Kensington, my dog, by the time she passes. Now, I would probably say I would like my daughter, Audrey, to have the remainder of the $50,000. Or it could be a charity. It could go to, you know, Corgi Rescue USA.
Okay. We like that.
Yes.
Yeah. You know? So the terms of the trust will then dictate, tell the trustee, okay, upon the beneficiary's death, the remainder balance shall go to the remainder beneficiary.
Okay. That makes sense.
Well, I have a question. So we brought on last season, we interviewed a couple that had taken on a dog for a coworker. Mm-hmm. The dog was in very poor shape when he came on. They took the dog from a coworker who I think it was her brother that was his dog. He was incarcerated. And the sister said, okay, can you take him? They said, sure. When they got him, he was emaciated. He was malnourished. He was neglected. He didn't have clean drinking water. He'd never been inside. It's just a very bad, it was an abuse situation, abuse and neglect. So they took him in and they cleaned him up and they got him good medical care and he was doing awesome and they were training him and he was, you know, had a nice comfy life. And then when the brother was released from jail, he came out and they sued the couple for custody. This was after his mother had said, you should just keep the dog. You should just keep him. Right. He's doing well for you. But then when the guy got out of jail, they said, oh, we decide we want the dog back. So they sued them for custody and won, and they lost that case. And they also lost both appeals. So what we learned about this,
the couple lost the case,
the couple. Yeah. Thank you. Sorry, too many pronouns, yeah. but they lost that. And we've learned that, and this is across all the states we're learning.
Yep.
We had an update where we interviewed Sophia again for how are you guys doing now? Because the sheriff had to come and take the dog and physically remove him from their custody. It was enforced. It was an enforced law. And they said that we've learned that animals like that, such as pets, are considered as physical property and not sentient beings.
Yeah.
So now the aim of the mission is to change that in the eyes of the law, so that we have some laws that protect the rights of the animals so that what happens is in their best interest. In a case like this, you're talking about someone who might have a will, a trust, these things set up. Is there a possibility that that would all have to go through probate anyway? And then are there risks there?
Well, it depends how you set up your estate plan. If we do a revocable trust and if it's done right, if there's an assignment of personal property, then no, you don't have to go through probate because everything will be titled correctly. It'll be titled in the name of the trust. All you have to do is sign a few papers and then transfer the title to the new trustee. So that's how the trust works. Okay. You're correct. And yes, it was something I wanted to talk about, that pets are considered property in the United States. There is also that one case of this Florida home. Some European billionaire heiress left everything to her dog. And now some dog has, or used to have, some large property in Florida that jet sets around. It's a crazy story, but apparently true. Europe has different laws than we do. Mm-hmm. But so in the United States, yes, they are considered property. So if you did have a will or you had no will, then you do have to go through probate. And then your heirs will just receive the dog and all the money. There's no pet trust. There's no provisions for the pet. If you did a will, again, you would have the, you know, you could do the gift. You could also create a testamentary pet trust, which is it's a trust created upon your death, and you can put that testamentary trust in both the revocable trust or the will. So really, a will versus revocable trust, probate or not probate, is more of a question of style rather than end result.
Okay. So if you don't make provisions for your pet, then anything could happen to the pet and you can get a situation like another one that we just heard about, speaking to Sophia, the woman who took this dog in and brought it back up, but another situation where couple is engaged, he buys her a dog, she has the dog, he unfortunately before they marry left, was I think he was killed or something in a car.
I don't know, he passed
anyway,
away.
He passed away, and his family is saying that that dog is part of the estate.
Yes, it would be. Without having a will in place,
that would be the probate we're talking about, right?
Yeah,
they just have to enforce it that they consider him as property that they don't want, that they want, or they don't want her to have.
Right. So there's two ways to die, to go through probate. That's intestate, where you don't have a will, and then there is testate, where you do have a will. Now, just because you have a will doesn't mean it's still good. For let's say this married couple, or let's just make them boyfriend girlfriend.
Yeah, that's what they were. Boyfriend. They were boyfriend and girlfriend.
Affianced.
They were enfianced. Yes.
Enfianced. Then it's technically whoever owns the dog, because again, dogs are property, and because they weren't married, it's separate property, and it's a little hard to prove joint ownership of a dog. But let's say they both pass, then it's like, okay, in the same car accident. Well, who owns the dog at that point?
Right.
Is it boyfriend's estate? Is it girlfriend's estate? Or was it a jointly owned animal? Because if it was boyfriend's only, and if it was his money that did it, he paid all the vet bills and everything, even though that, you know, by all rights, girlfriend should get the dog, it's technically boyfriend's dog, and it'll go to boyfriend's family through intestacy.
Wow. Even as a gift.
He would have had to gift the dog to girlfriend.
Yeah, he did gift the dog to girlfriend.
It'd have to be in writing somehow, right? It's not part of the estate. So that's, where you're going with this.
The court battle to prove that he did in fact gift it, because he's dead. He can't tell us what.
Right. Leighton, I had no idea when I said, hey, you got to come on our show, how complicated this is. It is the law, though. It's the law. And
it is.
But, we think about it for those of us with children. We think about it for our children, and setting up all this stuff. I think I was in my 20s and I looked at my mom's will, and it still had me going, because my dad passed when I was little. It still had me going to like my brother and my sister as my caretakers. And I'm like, mom, I don't think so. I think we need to update this a little bit. And she goes, oh, okay. But we don't think about it for our pets.
Well, that's what I want to ask though. So what would you advise someone going into a union like this and decide to get pets? Because times are a little less traditional. Not all couples marry at all anymore.
Right.
Sometimes they just cohabitate, or they don't even cohabitate, but they stay together for years. If it's something like acquiring a pet together, what would you suggest somebody would do? Paper trail, I guess, to protect that the dog would go to you or your significant other if something happened?
Absolutely. So if there's any paper trail registration, we have to register our dogs in Maricopa County, as you know. Yeah. So if you do the joint registration, that's further proof that you both consider the animal jointly owned. If you register it with the vet, again, as two owners, that would be further proof. But you're right. A lot of couples, and I'm finding in this day and age, a lot of older couples too, they never marry because they got burned and they don't want to get married again, or they have children already.
Been there, done that, got the t-shirt.
Yeah. Or the social security thing, or the whole social security thing.
Oh, that too. Yeah.
Yeah.
They just don't want to get married again. Mm-hmm. And if they don't have a estate plan in place, even just a will saying that actually I want my significant other to be taken care of when I pass, then it's going to follow the laws of intestacy and basic property rights. And then basic property rights would be, owning something 50-50. Now, here's the problem with pets. We don't have a system where you can have joint tenancy with right of survivorship. In Arizona, it automatically is only tenants in common, which means you each have, you know, 50% of the animal, right? You got one whole while the animal, while you're both alive. But, you know, once you split, you know, girlfriend's half, and this is boyfriend's half. You would think that girlfriend would get boyfriend's half, but that's not true. It belongs to the estate.
Wow.
So half the dog is owned by the estate. Going back to that other issue with the family.
Okay, so another question. You do your will, you do your trust, and you've got everything, you know, basically. And of course, you need to update it.
We followed Layton's advice.
We followed Layton's advice. We got, and Layton did our wills and trusts, and we'll have all your information in our comments. Is there a simple update? Because as we said at the beginning of the show, our pets leave us before we leave them. So is there simple updates to say, you know, pet A, Rainbow Bridge, pet B? All this stuff now applies to pet B. Pet B, Rainbow Bridge.
I'm sure
Bridge.
It would just be null and void, right?
I don't know. What would it be?
Because it's not an entity at that point. It's an because again, in the eyes of the law, it's objects, not sentient beings. The whole thing we're trying to chase.
So no, I know that. But
it's expired.
If that object passes away, if that object dies and we're still alive and we have a new pet or other pets, we want them to be taken care of, or we got a new pet. How does that all get included? Is that something that has to update all the time? Because you'd be doing it like every 5 minutes, because you get a new puppy every 5 minutes.
You I have OCD, obsessive corgi disorder.
Yeah.
Yes. So, It's actually a very common problem. Not every estate planning attorney knows that or can see far enough into the future to know that, hey, our clients aren't going to actually update their wills. They're not going to change their specific bequests. So what we're talking about with our pets is a specific bequest of that particular property or that particular fur baby. Now, if I put in my will, I want my dog Kensington to go to, I don't know, my best friend, Joe. If, you know, like you said, if Kensington passes away, I no longer own a dog named Kensington, unless I call my new dog Kensington, in which case it actually works. So yes, that's one thing you could do. You just keep calling your dogs the same names. And
right. This is 2.0. We got the upgrade.
All right. But no, the smarter, wiser thing to do is, and if you have multiple different types of pets, you can do it this way too. But you would say, I want my pets to go to Joe. And then, you know, have the specific request of, and if I also own, you know, a pet that Joe takes, I want Joe to have the $10,000. That way there's a condition attached to the $10,000.
Right. Getting
$10,000 for nothing.
Sure.
And so that's what we would do for the money portion. But as for the pet portion, you can say, all right, so if we've got corgis going to one group of friends or one friend, and then, you know, Dalmatians going to your Dalmatian friend, you would say, if I have any Dalmatians upon my death, I bequeath them to Dalmatian friend. And if I have any corgis upon my death, they will go to corgi friend. Or you could just say all of my pets and they will go to this person.
A blanket statement sounds easier and could provide more coverage,
especially for you.
But I would opine that would be easier to challenge. Like someone could argue that blanket term doesn't cover. I don't know. Maybe I'm overthinking it.
You might be overthinking it. That's
it's a superpower.
That's why we hire Layton.
Yes. We need your help. Well, thank you for that. I think that's going to be very illuminating for many of us to kind of set that up. And we won't keep you any more this evening. I know you've got fatherly duties and probably clients to get to and other things, all the other things you have to take care of. But I will drop in the description box how people can get a hold of you.
Yeah.
For guidance, and we really appreciate you educating us this afternoon.
And do you work? I'll ask the last question. Do you work in another state? Like, so our
do you have to be in Arizona?
It would be best if you live in Arizona, but if not, I can still help you. It
Okay.
gets a little bit more complicated, but there's ways around it.
Terrific, terrific. Because you seem to know about this, and
He knows the things.
he knows the things specific to our little fur babies, and that's what our listeners want to hear. So thank you so much. I'm so
Yeah,
excited.
we're very grateful for you. Thank you
Yeah.
so much, and we hope you have a great rest of your afternoon.
Yeah.
Thanks for having me on.
Thanks.
Our
Bye.
pleasure. Bye.
Bye, guys.
So are you going to do blanket, or are you going to do specific names? I feel like blanket will cover
Yeah,
me.
I think blanket is going to cover is going to cover. And you know, there are other options. Like, I know Arizona Humane Society here in Arizona, if you give that, you know, if you donate a certain amount of money, they will make sure your pets go to a good
Oh,
home.
good. Well,
You know,
and
and what do they consider a good home? There's so much to do, but yeah,
right.
it, sit down with Leighton, sit down with your legal planner, and
Get it in writing.
get
Get
it
some
in
ink
writing.
done.
And so much for divorce. I mean, everything.
Yeah, there have been a lot of nasty custody cases
Yes.
with pets upon divorce, unfortunately. But our friend Tawny from Shade.dm, she actually makes Casey's Keepers. And you can purchase these from her if you go to Casey's Keepers. But she makes a binder where you put a picture of the animal in there, and then there's all this information on their habits, their favorite foods, what they might be allergic to, medical history. Put all that in there. It's really good for dog sitters, but it's also good if something happens to you.
Happens to
So it'd
you,
be a
yeah.
good thing to have in conjunction with some legal paperwork. But
Absolutely.
very informative episode. We
Yeah.
hope that you learned something. We certainly did. We're here for you every Thursday, all things corgi and pet paw rent lifestyle. We're going to sign off. Thanks for joining us. It's Candy and Chuckles.
And Catherine and Digby and
And
Indy
of course, Booger and Mortimer.
and Booger and Mortimer.
We'll see you next week.
Bye.